rear end of a vehicle with three men inside that was stopped for a train. Bryson spoke with the men, then hit their car again as he left. Then moments later, a second collision caused by Bryson, striking a car occupied by a man and a woman. Bryson was found alone and unconscious in his car. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
Stocks are up in Asia and Europe 2 days after European finance ministers say they would pump $125 billion into Spanish banks. Torrential rains damaged homes and closed roads in the Florida Panhandle. More than 20 inches of rain was recorded in some areas. In Colorado and New Mexico, wildfires are spreading rapidly, pushed by heavy winds. This is NBC News Radio. The price of gas has dropped again. The latest Lundberg survey says it's down 16 cents in the last 3 weeks. The average price for a gallon of regular is now at $3.62. The Jerry Sandusky trial gets underway today with opening statements. NBC's Michael Isikoff says after that, the prosecution will start calling victims.
Prosecutors have lined up 8 alleged victims to testify. All, they say, met Sandusky through his Second Mile charity for troubled kids.
A shotgun that once belonged to Annie Oakley has sold for more than $143,000 at auction in Dallas. Once has won 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical and Best Actor. Clyburn Park won for Best Play. Madagascar 3 is number one at the box office, taking in $60.5 million on its first weekend. And Lady Gaga got whacked in the head with a set prop pretty hard during a concert in New Zealand. The video is posted online. Just in case you're wondering, she'll be okay. I'm Veronica Dela Cruz, NBC News Radio.
Get ready to support Team USA. Even if you can't make it to the 2012 Olympic Games, you can still be a winner. Visit your local BP station to get an official game card. There are over $1 million in total prizes available, including BP gas for a week or even gas for a year.
No purchase necessary. Gas for a year awarded is $3,245 in BP gift cards. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and over, except New Jersey and Virginia residents. Void or prohibited and in New Jersey and Virginia. Full rules, price details, and information on free entry at participating BP stations or bpusathletes.com while supplies last.
Get 50% off any Domino's Pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's Pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer applies to the pizza portion of your order only.
The nation's biggest health insurer has made a big announcement. United Health Group, with 36 million customers nationwide, says it will honor at least parts of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, even if the Supreme Court overturns it. Rules it's keeping in place include no co-pays for preventive screenings and no lifetime caps on care. The announcement could pressure rival health providers to match the move. Thanks to sliding fuel prices and at least a tepid economic recovery, the global airline industry says it ought to be profitable this year, though barely. The International Air Transport Association predicts an industry-wide $3 billion profit, although only North and South America will enjoy any sort of gains over last year. The association also warns it could end up with a loss if Europe's economy worsens further. Global stocks rallying, most indexes in Asia and Europe up 2% after Europe agreed to bail out Spain's banks to the tune of $125 billion. S&P futures up 11. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig. Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Get 50% off any Domino's pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer, prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday, June 11th, 2012. I hope you had a good weekend. Obviously, weather-wise, hot, clear. I don't know that it rained anywhere, did it? I think it was pretty dry in and around town. I will tell you, the grass could really use a little moisture. So I guess it's going to cool off a little bit, then heat back up this week. It's summer, after all. God bless you all. Hey, great to be with you this morning. A lot to get to. I got to tell you, I'm now really kind of concerned about what's happening in the city of Detroit. We can, and we will talk about what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, what's morally correct. But at the end of the day, sometimes you have to ask yourself a very simple question, a very simple question. Do you stand by principle to stand by principle, or do you kind of have to waver from time to time? I mean, these are difficult questions. We're going to get to all this, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, the city fathers and mothers of Detroit got to be careful how they proceed. Things are getting a little out of control. I'm concerned. We'll get to it in just a minute. But anyway, what do we have going on today? House candidate Stuart Sternberg will be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. I met Stuart about a year ago. I was speaking out in Port Huron. Former educator, retired educator, really neat guy. I had a chance to visit with him a bit when I was out there speaking to that group. State Representative Harvey Santana will be with us at 7:35. Why? Well, if you have not been following the news, Harvey made the news. All of his committee assignments have been taken away from him over what he says is standing by principle. Now, I just said, with regard to the city of Detroit, you know, sometimes you've got to do the right thing, and sometimes you have to stand by principle. Maybe sometimes those intersect perfectly. Anyway, we'll get with Harvey Santana at 7:35, and he'll talk his way through what's going on. Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift at 7:50. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, will be our guest, as he is every Monday. And Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan will be our guest in the blog roll segment. With all that said, and we got a lot going on, let's get it going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Bargaining. You know, we're going to listen to some audio. We got a lot, ladies. We got a lot going on today. We're going to listen to some audio. Mitch Daniels, governor of Indiana, is going to be, we're going to be playing some audio of him talking about collective bargaining and how unnecessary it is and how public sector unions are passe and blah, 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 blah. Bargaining, folks. Bargaining is critical. Collective bargaining is critical. Bargaining in and of itself, well, I don't know. I guess it depends what you're bargaining on. But this concept that unions are passe as well, that they've outgrown their usefulness and their function is literally one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard. To bargain this interchange, this idea exchange, this going from one extreme to the other, then finding some common ground, not necessarily middle ground, common ground. Sometimes it goes in the direction a little heavier towards management, sometimes more towards labor. Bargaining, folks, is an art form. It is a critical function of how we proceed. It is literally one of the more important and should be one of the more important functions of our job, of management and of labor. Folks, this bargaining we talk about, especially in the realm of work, is critical. Bargaining as far as getting the best price for a pair of culottes, maybe not so much. Maybe it is, but that's more of a personal thing. Oh, I get so concerned when I hear the discussion, because again, the right has so much more money. They can drive their message ad infinitum, and they do. On faux news and all the other crap that's out there. Conservative media actually has taken bargaining out of the process, whether it be collective or any other form of bargaining. Oh, yeah, we're going to keep our eyes open. We're going to keep our ears open, and we're going to keep the idea, the concept of bargaining front and center. Because, folks, it is critical that we do not lose that focus anytime soon. And today's first word. Bargaining, and we'll bargain on the fact that Jeff's on the other side of the microphone, and we'll say good morning to Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Jeff. How are you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm busy. I went to the Union Label Trade Show
at
the UFCW Hall on Saturday morning and bought a couple things, which was fun. And enjoyed that a great deal. Saw president of the Metro AFL-CIO, Chris Mihalakis. Saw David Hecker. Saw some of my friends in labor. I saw Ed Potasnik. I didn't talk to Ed, but I did see him. In fact, I went to find him before. He's, of course, with the United Way. Before I left, I went to find him and couldn't find him anywhere. I met Jenny Chatman, who, of course, was our guest last week or week before, Jeff, coordinated the Renew America Expo, which is what it was called. But just had a great time. I really enjoyed that. And then the rest of the weekend was just really spent doing some yard work and preparing for today, as you and I believe the audience knows, I'm sitting in Fred Schultz for a few days, so it's added a little bit to my workload. Not that I'm complaining. The problem, bud, is I have not been able to get to the gym since Thursday, and I will not be able to get to the gym until Wednesday, because there's just no way I can do both shows and my work and everything else I got to do and go to the gym. Just not going to happen.
That, as long as you feel that way, though, because I pulled double duty back around Christmas, and I did the same thing. I mean, it's like you work all day long, and then you have short breaks in between, but not long enough to head out to the gym. And as long as you want to get back into it, that's the key.
Yeah, I could have gone yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, and it was a very selfish reason. I wanted a little outdoor time. I wanted to just sit outside for a while because it was, it was beautiful.
And see, that affects you at the gym, I think. Last week was so tough for me at the gym because it's just been so nice. You don't want to be inside at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. I have a goal. I mean, it was really nice on Saturday. I saw people I hadn't seen in a while, and everybody was like, oh, my God, how much weight have you lost? There's a woman that I've known since Anthony and Dominic played Little League football. She works for one of the unions, and I don't see her that often. And, she came up to me, and she said, I want the diet you're on. I went, not necessarily want the diet I'm on, but... so that was nice. So it reminds me of why going to the gym is critical, and because it's going to help me get to my goal, not just quicker, because this isn't a race, Jeff, and I know that, but it will help me get to my goal. Just having the weight loss surgery alone is not going to be enough to get all the weight off that I want to get off. So yes, I do want to get back into the gym. Yes, it is harder, and the challenge for me, and I know Anthony's going to roll his eyes when I say this, is I hate leaving the dog alone all day. I mean, I left him, all day Friday, all day today, all day tomorrow. And then even, you know, during the week, you know, we come home from the show. I you know, do some stuff in the office, and then I leave to go to the gym. And so the dog's the one that's been having to deal with my schedule changes. But this too shall pass.
Poor guy. What a tough life that guy's got. Vinny.
I just feel a little guilty. Anyway, so it was a very busy weekend, and here it is Monday again, and I have a feeling it's going to be a very busy week. How was your weekend?
Very busy as well, but I did get out yesterday, and you know, the one thing that's been killing me lately is I like being outside a little too much. I've gotten so much sun, I'm actually kind of scared. I'm turning red. Like, I'm actually much darker than people should be, you know, this time of year. It took me 3 days, and all of a sudden, I've got, like, you know, I'm very red is what it is.
Well, I sent you a note yesterday and said I was, you know, it was just titled so. I said, okay, here it is, Sunday night, 6:30. I've got two shows to prepare for, blah, 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 and I'm exhausted. And you said, yeah, I almost feel like I need another day to get over the weekend. I'm hoping that, because, you know, I don't know what you're, I'm not hanging out with you on the weekends. I'm hoping that you're just having a lot of fun.
Half of it is fun. I mean, yesterday was good. Yesterday I went, I feel guilty if it's that nice out that I'm not near water, like a pool or a lake or something. You know, enjoy it while it lasts kind of thing, because I don't know how, you know, you never know how long this weather's going to.
You grew up on a lake, right?
Not really.
No?
Just recently my parents have lake access, so I go out there and hang out when I can. I do have a pool at the apartment complex, though, so. But yesterday I spent it far away from water, out in the middle of a golf course.
So that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. It's the first time I've golfed in, I don't know, a long time, and these are guys I grew up golfing with. Like, I grew up golfing with these, you know, these three guys or whatever. So, we went out and spent 5 hours on the course, and I don't know, I felt comfortable with them, so I played really well. I couldn't believe it. First time
good.
In a while.
You know, that's good. It's good that you did. So I think that's important, that when you do have some time off, that you do something that you enjoy, you spend it with people you enjoy.
And it had nothing to do really with the golf. It was like, you know,
good company.
The bonding. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I'm all over that one. All right. When we come back, we'll check in, see how the Tigers did this weekend, and, oh, my. There's a lot going on. So we're going to get to it all. For sure, more than welcome to join us. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. We take the break. We come back. First Shift continues on this Monday right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hot dog. Yep, that's me.
No shame in my game. You can almost get that here and now.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, it is quiet so far, but we do have a closure on Biddle Avenue in both directions between Eureka and Oak Street. That was due to that fire from yesterday. Also, 23 Mile Road eastbound, heading to the 94 westbound ramp. That is closed until 6 a.m. this morning. Also, we have road construction as your left lane closed on 696 in both directions at Ryan Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt, and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income, and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it. Our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock and a happy Monday to you. Well, we're going to talk some Tigers real quick, and then we're going to talk City of Detroit. Jeff, Tigers win the weekend series from Cincinnati. What, 2 out of 3?
Should have swept, though. I mean, I'm glad they won the last two games, but that first game in extra innings, it shouldn't have gone to extra innings, but they made a decent comeback in that one as well.
Yes, they did, and I do want to point out that Cincinnati is a first-place team. And I don't know, again, first place can, you know, be one of those things where one first-place team isn't always the same as another first-place team.
Well, National League.
Right, but it's still a first-place team. So let's hope that this is the beginning of something good. Although we're like entrenched in interleague play, which is my least favorite part of the baseball season, but I'm going to get over it because I don't have a choice. I keep saying that. Apparently, I'm not getting over it.
No, I don't mind it, I guess. It's not. I mean, I like the situations that come up. And I don't know. What would you rather? Would you rather not have a DH at all or have DH in both leagues or keep it the way it is and just not have American League teams play National League teams?
Wow.
Those are your choices.
Those are my choices. I guess I would go... I could live without the DH.
See, and that's the thing. That's why I like these situations that come up because there are... I mean, people were talking about it or, you know, upset about why is this guy playing DH, why is this guy playing and this guy's not playing, and I just thought it was interesting on ESPN they were talking about the fact that American League fans might not understand some of the things that happen in the National League because they have the DH and they don't have to worry about,
right,
you know, changing out pitchers and flipping people around. But one of the most important things is if you sub for your DH, you lose that DH, so your pitcher has to bat, and it very rarely happens in the American League. Because, you know, obviously you want to keep your DH the entire game. But I guess it happened over this weekend where two teams were playing in an American League park and they switched out their DH and all of a sudden now their pitcher's batting, even though it's an American League park. And it was just a weird situation where they found a benefit from that. So let's say that we're, you know, that's the strategy of baseball that sometimes gets lost when you do have a DH in the American League.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? That is really interesting. Well, I'm pleased, although Justin Verlander didn't get the victory, by the way, this weekend. And I'm pleased the Tigers had a better weekend. I think it's clear that Justin Verlander is not going to repeat his record from last year. I think that's pretty clear at this point.
He's gone through. He started out last season real early with a. It's hard to say weak stretch, but not very hot, and then took off. And he's this year. I think he started out well. They didn't get him. You know, the first three times he pitched, they didn't get him the win, or something weird happened. I think he's pretty dominant, though. I mean,
oh, I agree. I don't think he's pitching poorly. I said his record will not be the same. That doesn't mean he's not pitching well. Pitching well.
No, I gotcha. But the way that the writers are talking about last night's game in both MLB.com, Detroit News, and all this, tonight, and I think it's a lot of hopefulness for Tigers fans, you know, trying to get people back interested. But they're saying it could be the turning point game. The team showed a lot of heart coming back. The bats are starting to come now. Austin is, he hit a home run and an RBI double last night, and he's at the top of the order. Fans got their way to have Quentin Berry bat second, and when Dierks comes back, those three guys, if you put them together somewhere in the lineup, suddenly you got guys on base making things happen, and Cabrera and Prince can start hitting people in again. That kind of excitement, if it gets generated, if last night's game was a turning point, suddenly, you know, maybe Verlander only has to, he can give up two or three runs and get a win. And that's the big difference, I think, with what you're saying as far as record-wise, is there's times where he gave up two runs against the Indians and got a loss. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
offense, he should get a win when he gives up two runs in seven innings.
No question, and we should be mindful before we move on that we still have a lot of guys that are injured, a lot of significant names that aren't contributing to the ball club right now, and that will change, of course, as the season progresses. But a solid weekend for the Detroit Tigers and something to feel good about, and national audience last night, so it's nice to be part of a come-from-behind dramatic victory. Gives the audience something to remember. Okay, very quickly, I want to get to some audio, and then we're going to talk about what I think is a pretty difficult decision. But for those of you that live in the city of Detroit, I know that there are a considerable amount, especially this early in the morning, considerable amount of our audience that does live in the confines of the city of Detroit. This piece by Fox 2 on a lawsuit now that is miring the middle of the city. Let's go to that.
Detroit could be broke in a week if a lawsuit challenging a consent agreement to fix the city's finances is not dropped. That's the bombshell from the mayor today.
Yeah, that's right, Monica. This all stems from a lawsuit that basically the lead attorney for the city has filed. It basically says that because of the fact the state owes Detroit money in revenue sharing, the state's defaulted, and because of that, they can't enter into any type of agreement with the state. The mayor says his hands are tied. He alone can't do anything but try to convince her to change her mind and drop the suit. In the end, this could cost the city millions.
We could eventually, in a short period of time, run out of cash.
Just when you thought the city's deal with the state to keep the lights on was a done deal, another legal loophole to tell you about. Depending on who you ask, it's a back and forth that's...
This is hardball, and we're going to have to play, and we're going to have to fight for what we feel is right.
Council President Charles Pugh on a run this morning sees this as another snag that needs to play out, but the mayor sees this as more than just hardball.
It is an emergency. It's a crisis. We've been in a crisis for a long time. This just ups the ante more than anything else. And I think from a leadership standpoint, it's incumbent upon us as leaders to deal with this expeditiously.
Work quickly to reverse what's been done. A lawsuit. And here's where that stems from. The city appointed this woman, Crystal Crittenden, as Detroit's head lawyer or corporation counsel. She says the city cannot enter the financial stability agreement the council narrowly approved in April. The reason? She says the state of Michigan owes Detroit hundreds of millions in revenue sharing and millions more in parking tickets and other debts. So Crittenden filed this lawsuit against the state of Michigan. The state in turn says they may have to hold back on the $80 million that was agreed on to pay out to the city. So the city says they'll run out of cash soon.
We're looking at a week from today.
Municipal Attorney Patrick McCauley telling us the state will have to show that the financial stability agreement is what's best for the city. The
state may also have the option of saying this lawsuit has, in essence, created a default by the city under the financial stability agreement, such that the state now has other remedies, including seeking a receiver and the appointment of an emergency financial manager. So that can be the state's counter to the lawsuit right now.
And so you're learning the corporation counsel, that one woman, has a lot more power than you may have thought. The revised charter gives her the power to challenge the consent agreement, even if the mayor, as you see there, isn't on board.
All right, so here's the challenge. Before we get to the break here, we'll come back and talk about this in greater detail. And would love to get some feedback from those of you that live within the city of Detroit. Do you drop the lawsuit and just deal with the consent agreement and move on? Because if the city does go bankrupt, literally, if they cut off the money, that's the state, and they can't make payroll, then what? Is an emergency manager imminent if they move forward with this? Charles Pugh says they don't have a choice, that they're showing leadership. The question is this leadership or cowardice? I'm asking the question. Love your feedback. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. What's the city of Detroit going to do with every decision? They either get one step closer or one step further away from reality. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Taking a look at your traffic, it is quiet so far, but we do have a closure on Biddle Avenue in both directions between Eureka and Oak Street. That was due to that fire from yesterday. Also, 23 Mile Road eastbound, heading to the 94 westbound ramp. That is closed until 6 a.m. this morning. Also, we have road construction as your left lane closed on 696 in both directions at Ryan Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Scott Walker wins Wisconsin, screamed headlines across the country after the labor-bashing incumbent governor hung on to his job in the June 5th recall election. Well, yes, but no. Walker will get to stay in office for the rest of his term, but he did not win the election. Money did. This was a victory for the Citizens United edict issued 2 years ago by a five-man corporatist majority on the Supreme Court. Their anti-democracy ruling opened the door for unlimited sums of corporate cash to barge into our national, state, and local elections and take charge. Walker is the first ugly sprouting of that alien seed. He sacked up some $30 million from corporate interests, nearly eight times the money that his Democratic opponent had to spend, and two-thirds of Walker's stockpile came from out-of-state interests. Bob Perry, for example, an anti-labor, anti-government Texas tycoon, put more than $500,000 into his Wisconsin soulmate's campaign. Likewise, the far-out DeVos family from the Amway fortune gave $250,000, as did Las Vegas casino baron Sheldon Adelson. Then came the insidious, secretive, outside campaigns that the Supremes green-lighted, allowing corporations to dump mountains of their cash into elections. The multi-billionaire laissez-fairyland Koch brothers, for example, shoved at least $3 million behind Walker, practically all of which went to vituperously negative attacks on his opponent. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, some victory. Honest conservatives might take cheer that Walker still clings to the governor's chair, but there can be no joy in the fact that money rules. That's the lesson of this election, and that's the real fight. To join it, go to Public Citizens Grassroots Rebellion. Go to www.democracyisforpeople.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano indeed with you this Monday morning. Before we get to the phones, difficult decisions, yes or no? I don't know that they are that difficult. And I think at some point, as I said earlier on in the hour today, sometimes to do the right thing, and the right thing may not be the most popular thing, the most moral thing. I can go on and on and on. Folks, the city of Detroit literally will have zero cash. And I want to get back to that in just a second. Zero cash, according to, well, I guess Mayor Bing. Although I want to remind you, some weeks back, I got a call from somebody that said they worked in the treasurer's office in the city of Detroit, who said that there is no cash crisis in the city, that's a manufactured lie. Your thoughts, 888-552-3595. David in Farmington joins us now. David, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been following this little escapade for a while here. The contention is for 18 months, there's been people within the power structure of the city saying the state owes them the better part of like $250 million. So we fast forward to, 3 months ago, where they cut the deal with the state for a financial manager to come in.
No. A consent agreement, which was for a financial manager not to come in. So you got to be careful here. But go ahead, David.
Okay. And that deal was for $80 million. So here we are, if the facts are true that the state, or I shouldn't say the facts are true, if the information is factual that the state does owe them $240 and that basically the Republican power structure within the state has refused to get that money to them to force the city into consent agreements and basically trying to break down the power structure within the cities. Within the city that had, with, you know, that forces issues within the state, they would gain three times the amount for the $80 million. And I find it quite ironic that supposedly one person that is a representative of the city has filed a lawsuit that has gummed up all the works.
Well, and David, let me, and I appreciate the call. Let me correct a couple things though, because you don't quite have it right. I really didn't want to do this, but I also can't just let this stuff stand without correcting it. It's $224 million, not $250 million. The state claims they don't owe it. The city claims they do. This is a problem that has gone on for a couple administrations now. This isn't just a Governor Snyder thing. It's also a Governor Granholm thing. The Snyder administration, and more specifically the Treasurer Andy Dillon, claims that the state does not owe the city of Detroit anything. The city of Detroit, of course, claims that they're owed this $224 million, and as a result, because there's this encumbrance, they shouldn't have been forced into the consent agreement because legally it's not something they can uphold. That's where the lawsuit comes in. Now, the problem, of course, is under the new city charter, the corporate council for the city of Detroit does not need the mayor's permission to proceed, which is what she is currently doing. The question I'm throwing out to everybody this morning is, what's the right thing to do here? Because according to the state of Michigan, they're not going to pay that obligation, that $80 million obligation. They are not going to make their next payment to the city of Detroit if this lawsuit's not withdrawn. So is the right thing for the city fathers and mothers to do is to say to the corporate counsel, because it sounds to me like they can only ask her to withdraw the suit. So she's not obligated to do that. Now, David, you do make a very fundamentally a very important point here, which is, should one person have that kind of power and gum up the works, as you said? And that's a pretty nice way to put it, because it's gumming up the works. No question that's true. What's the right thing to do for the city? Now, I have had enough calls on this program from people that live in the city that I know that there are people right now that are saying, nope, you know what, stand by your guns, let the city go bankrupt, something's going to happen anyway, and then let's just deal with it. In fact, when we go back and talk about the consent agreement, there were people then that were saying, no, let the city go bankrupt, let's just let it happen. Is that the right thing to do at this point? Or is that going to force a financial manager on the city, which will freak the people of Detroit out even more? Now, there's another layer of this that we cannot ignore. You'll remember that we had Ed McNeil on the show from AFSCME Local 25. He was the chief negotiator for a coalition of all of the Detroit unions. Came together, said to the city, we can save you the money you need to save if you will just follow the plan the way we presented it. He was on this very show, spent 45 minutes walking us through it. Notice that this never comes up in any discussion, especially through the media, quote unquote, the mainstream media. Now, this is problematic. As Ed clearly demonstrated on this program and in a couple town halls, one of them was in a church in the city of Detroit, the other one was at the AFSCME offices. In fact, if you were to call Ed right now, he'll come to your house, sit in your living room, and give this presentation to anybody that wants to listen. Why have we continued to ignore the good work that this coalition of unions did that demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that they could save the city the kind of money they needed to save to not just avoid bankruptcy, but to avoid a financial manager? Why do we ignore that? Why does the media ignore it? I don't have the answer to that question, but it's an awfully good freaking question, is it not? And so you see, but we're gonna go ahead, and let's be mindful of this, that every time we turn around, and we're going to get to this on the other side of the break, every time we turn around, public sector and private sector unions are being shamed. You know, we're talking, well, not me, but they're being talked about as if there's some kind of a new leprosy. That organized labor is the problem. When again, Ed McNeil sat literally 2 feet from where I'm sitting right now and demonstrated beyond a shadow of a doubt that if they would allow organized labor to put a plan in place, they could turn the city of Detroit around almost instantaneously. Yet it's ignored. Ignored. To me, that sounds almost conspiratorial, doesn't it? Think about that for a moment. We have a solution to the problem, a demonstrated solution to a problem. On paper, this isn't rocket science. Well, actually, it's complicated, but it's not rocket science. Literally, we ignore the answer. We ignore the answer. Why is that? Even the city of Detroit, even the city council's ignoring what labor did. So this coalition of all of the Detroit unions, if I'm a member of organized labor in the city of Detroit, I'm outraged, as they are. They are. But doesn't it make you wonder, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your politics are, doesn't it make you wonder if there's a demonstrated solution to a problem that's being ignored? You have to ask yourself the question, why is it being ignored? Now, we can go back to my solution to everything, is follow the money, right? That's my solution. And So let's do that. And in fact, that's what AFSCME and the other unions did. The UAW, the operating engineers, everybody involved, anybody involved in organized labor capacity in the city of Detroit. They did follow the money, and they said, listen, you can't subcontract this stuff. This is why it's costing you X amount of dollars here. You can't do this because it's costing you this much money there. But they didn't just say, this report didn't just say, you need to stop doing this. It said, if you stop doing this and then do this, you have a solution to your problem. Yet it's being ignored. So, yeah, that does sound a bit conspiratorial. I find that a little bit, well, maybe more than a little bit disturbing, don't you? At what point, I don't care where you live, at what point do you not demand, not expect, demand answers to these questions? The media ignores it. The politicians ignore it. At the state level, at the federal level, at the local level, everyone's ignoring the answer. I'm going to be mindful one more time. I'm going to put this in front of you one more time. We got to get Ed McNeil back on this show. Just one more time. A report is out there on paper that demonstrates that if the city were to follow a path that the unions set forth, that they would solve this problem almost instantaneously. And you're not fed up? 888-552-3595. Lots more to get to on the other side. We got to get Ed McNeil back on this show. This is ridiculous. This is literally ridiculous. We should be ashamed, really. We should be and embarrassed. You know, Charles Pugh can position all he wants. Mayor Bing can put, you know, they can position all they want. They're not solving and they're not leading. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Joining us now is Susan Demish.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, is this a decision of conscience? People's thinking of all? I get that, but it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday, and he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to to his staff who are now out of the job or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very even political move.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Well, you know, if we're gonna pick on unions, we might as well just go out there on a federal level, a national, I shouldn't say federal, national level. There's an intense discussion going on. Listen, the organized labor is under attack, and what happened in Wisconsin last week doesn't help organized labor. But what it does do is it helps the conversation. And again, I'm not saying this out of ego. As many of you know, I guest hosted Ed Schultz on Friday and will be today and tomorrow as well. We talked a lot about organized labor. We talked a lot about moving labor forward. All right? And over the weekend, Governor of Indiana Mitch Daniels was on Fox Sunday. And folks, what he had to say about organized labor is beyond disturbing. But before we do that, I do want to go to the phones. 888-552-3595. My good friend Bomani joins us now from Detroit. Bomani, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. What's on your mind, brother?
Nice to talk to you again. You okay?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, I don't know what to say about the city of Detroit sometimes. I do think that the unions need to shut the city down, personally. I heard that they can't really get all the unions on board to do that, but that would be a suggestion of mine. I don't think they should give in at all. I think if they're threatening bankruptcy or whatever they're threatening to do, I think a couple other cities around the country did that, and the federal government wound up coming in and helping them out, because it seems like whenever the money goes to the state just uses it for whatever they want to do or to fill their own budget, you know, and I don't see how they can make a claim that about financial distress when they're not doing them well themselves, or they wouldn't have done that well if the federal government hadn't come in and bailed them out and used the money for themselves instead of using the money for Detroit, you know. So I think that the unions need to shut this city down. I don't think they will allow it to go bankrupt. I think we need to call the state's bluff and stop playing with these people, because the five city council members who voted for the consent agreement, I think they're a bunch of chickens. I think they punked out, personally. I think they punked out, and I think they need to make sure that the union's agreement is on the front page. Well, the Michigan Citizen will talk about it, of course, but the mainstream media won't make it.
Right, that really disturbs me about this whole thing. In fact, we're going to have we're going to have somebody on for the Michigan Citizen, hopefully this week, to talk about this in greater detail. I got to tell you, I'm of all the people that I'm really, I mean, I got my issues with Mayor Bing, but Charles Pugh is the one that is trying to play both sides against the middle. And I now know why he's not running for re-election, because he shot himself in the ass. I got a real problem with Charles Pugh, Bomani. I just, he says one thing and does another, and I don't trust that guy.
Well, he shouldn't have been voted on the city council in the first place. He already said when he was running, he didn't know a damn thing about politics. He was running on his own popularity, you know, and he's incompetent. I've been down there. The man's incompetent, and those five people who voted for the consent agreement, people knew when he was running. I ran for city council in 2009. Those five people who ran, they either took money from the Chamber of Commerce and these radical right-wing groups that are outside Detroit, or they're in some kind of I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think that these five have their own personal agenda in mind, and that they're willing to take money from anybody, and they're just a bunch of just like Dave Bing, they're just a bunch of closeted Republicans who know that they can't get elected in Detroit unless they say they're a Democrat.
Well, there may be some truth to that. Thank you for your call, Bomani. As I said a little earlier, there is something conspiratorial about this, no question. Thanks for the call. Let's go now, and because we do need to, this certainly ties into what we're talking about. Mitch Daniels, who's the governor of Indiana, was on Fox Sunday yesterday, Fox News Sunday, and spoke about public sector unions. And this is what he had to say.
I think the message is that, first of all, voters are seeing the fundamental unfairness of government becoming its own special interest group, sitting on both sides of the table. And they're also noticing the sadness that when fundamental services, education and health care and others, are diminished because so much money is being devoured by very high salaries, higher than those that the taxpayers themselves are earning, more generous benefits, almost bulletproof job protection, and huge pensions.
All right. Well, you know, this wasn't the end of it. In fact, that isn't even the more controversial aspect of what Governor Daniels had to say. He went on to say this.
I hope it means some kind of turning point in trying to redress the balance. You know, there's a reason that defenders of labor from Franklin Roosevelt to George Meany to many others always said that unionism had no place in the public sector, that it was a necessary freedom, and it is, in the private sector, but that it was a bad idea in government. And I think we've seen through its excesses, the ones I just mentioned, now visible to voters almost everywhere, that it really needs to be brought under some sort of control in the interest of the people who pay the taxes and who would rather see those taxes, more of them, dollars, go to vital services.
Well, are you saying that you would like to see no public worker unions?
I think really government works better without them. I really do. You know.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you heard that. You heard that. You heard it correctly. Whew. All right, one more piece of audio, then I'll really come back and beat this one up. Go ahead.
In our state, we had a 16-year run with so-called collective bargaining, and we did end it. And I want to say that although it led to the saving of large amounts of tax dollars, it wasn't principally about that. We had 160 pages of shackles, really, on government's ability to deliver services better. And 7 years later, we're delivering services across the board in a much more effective way to people. We could never have made all these reforms tied down by those 160 pages of thou shalt nots.
Well, of course, he doesn't say what those thou shalt nots are. And if we were to do a little homework, which I did do, you'll find that those 160 pages of thou shall nots, most of them dealt with critical issues of safety and protecting the individual employee. But God forbid we'd want to do that now, right? Right? You know, this idea that we eliminate public sector unions, which of course is what something Republicans, we're seeing it here in the state of Michigan. Sweet God, we're ground zero for it here in the state of Michigan. If you don't think organized labor is under assault, you're not paying attention. In fact, I would suggest most of you aren't paying attention. Even some of you inside the union movement itself are not paying attention. And I mean rank-and-file members of organized labor. I'm not talking about leadership. We talk to a great many leaders in the union movement on this show. They understand their responsibility. Think for a moment about what they have to do. While they're educating their membership, they're also negotiating contracts and at the same time fighting to protect at the federal, at the state, at the local level, your rights to collective bargaining. To protect our jobs initiative here in the state of Michigan is a response to a right-wing Republican agenda that says we don't care what you want without unions. Fat people make more money. Oh, that's corporations, by the way. All right, busy hour in the next hour, so you're going to want to stay with us. Stuart Sternberg will be with us. He's a candidate for the State House. Harvey Santana, who is in the State House, and Occupy Detroit joins us as well. Stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. Plenty to get to.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, it's looking good so far on your commute, but we do have some planned construction coming up on 75 northbound between Swan Creek Road and South Huron River Drive. Also, we got road construction that'll have your right lane closed on 696 in both directions at Farmington Road. And don't forget about Biddle Avenue is closed in both directions between Eureka and Oak Street. That was due to that fire from yesterday. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Vett. Pick your poison this morning. It's much too hot and dry to the west, where thousands of acres are ablaze in Colorado and New Mexico. And as NBC's Mike Taibbi reports, it's far too wet in the southeast, where record rains have brought widespread flooding.
Along the Gulf Coast, rain. Hurricane caliber rain without the hurricane. A foot and a half in Pensacola in one day, the second biggest rain day in the city's history.
It's bullish out there. World markets are sharply higher after Spain requested a lifeline for its ailing banks. On Wall Street, the Dow coming off a plus 400 week. Stock futures are higher. USA Today reporting more cities are cracking down on the homeless. Atlanta, L.A., and New York among those adopting laws against camping and food sharing. And those zoo animals of Madagascar 3 are running roughshod over the competition, topping the box office at $60 million. The alien prequel Prometheus, a strong second, scaring up $50 million. This is NBC News Radio. Opening statements today in the child sex abuse trial of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky, charged with sexually abusing 10 boys over 15 years. NBC's Michael Isikoff.
The first expected on the stand, victim 4, who told the grand jury that he was subjected to more than 50 acts of sex abuse and given dozens of gifts by Sandusky, including golf clubs and money to buy marijuana.
Lawyers for Roger Clemens wrap up their case today at the perjury trial of the pitching great. On Broadway, Clybourne Park and Once are celebrating their Tony Award success, Best Play and Best Musical. Mike Nichols took home his 7th directorial Tony for the revival of Death of a Salesman. And advanced mapping and photo sharing are expected to dominate as Apple kicks off a big week in San Francisco. The top tech company expected to replace Google Maps on its iPhones and iPads with what's billed as a sleeker and cooler mapping program. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
No copays for annual physicals, mammograms, or other preventive tests, and no lifetime caps on coverage. Those are a couple of rules under the healthcare overhaul law. And insurance giant United Healthcare now says it will keep the rules in place, even if the Supreme Court overturns the healthcare overhaul. United is the nation's largest health insurer. Wall Street is partially copying the moves by markets around the world, rallying after Europe agreed to a bailout deal for Spain's banks. S&P futures right now gaining 10 points, NASDAQ futures up 21. It sounds like an old commercial for Folgers. Coffee roasters have secretly switched the fine coffee normally served with cheaper stuff. A year ago, as prices for high-quality Arabica beans jumped, many coffee companies quietly mixed in larger quantities of lower-grade Robusta beans and hoped we wouldn't notice. But Reuters reports that as Arabica bean prices now fall back to historically normal levels, coffee companies do not appear to be switching back to the good stuff. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same?
Well, they're not. With SafeLight, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, SafeLight has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want SafeLight. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes. So choose SafeLight.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Get ready to support Team USA. Even if you can't make it to the 2012 Olympic Games, you can still be a winner. Visit your local BP station to get an official game card. There are over $1 million in total prizes available, including BP gas for a week or even gas for a year.
No purchase necessary. Gas for a year awarded is $3,245 in BP gift cards. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and over, except New Jersey and Virginia residents. Void or prohibited and in New Jersey and Virginia. Full rules, price details, and information on free entry at participating BP stations or bpusathletes.com while supplies last.
At 50% off any Domino's Pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's Pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer, prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Offer.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the 11th day of June 2012. We've got a busy hour and a busy day today. You'll want to stay tuned. Working backwards, we'll visit with Occupy Detroit at 7:50. At the bottom of this hour, State Representative Harvey Santana will be with us. Those of you paying attention over the weekend know that he was stripped of his committee assignments in the House. Why? Well, there are a couple stories coming out. I talked to Harvey this weekend. We'll get his side, and then we'll let you decide. But before we get to any of that, it's really a pleasure. About a year ago or so, I was asked to go to Port Huron to talk to the St. Clair County Democratic Club. And man, what a blessing that was. One of the people that I sat and chatted with for a period of time was a guy by the name of Stuart Sternberg. Now, Stuart's one of those kind of people where once you talk to him for about 5 minutes, you quickly understand that he's intelligent. He's a former school teacher, by the way, retired. Very intelligent, very passionate, very much the activist. He kind of, you know, fits that mold of what you want to see in somebody that cares about the community. He's entrenched in the community. He's well known. He's respected. In fact, he would be one of those guys that if he were to run for office, it would be hard for the other side to really find much wrong. Without lying, anyway. Well, guess what? He decided he is going to run for the state house, in fact. And so he reached out to me last week, and Jeff did his job. And here we are now talking to Stuart this morning. So let us turn our attention now to Stuart Sternberg, who is running for the state house. And, Stuart, I appreciate you spending a little time with us this morning.
I love being back. You know, Tony, I know I'm old and fat, but I'm not yet retired. I'm still involved. So any administrator hearing that I'm retired, don't cut me off yet.
Well, now, are you a retired teacher?
No, I'm an active teacher.
Yeah, well, then a shame on me.
You know, that's all right. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know that I know you've been working to lose weight and get in shape, I got to tell you, you should consider running for office, because nothing makes you feel, you know, you get in better shape than walking door to door to door.
Yeah, I did that in 2006, and I did it. I've been there. I got the T-shirt, and that's where we're going to leave it, Stuart. But we're here to talk about your run for
right.
the State House, and so let's you know, it's again, there's so much going on. You're an activist. You're a smart person. You're paying attention legislatively what's happened over the last year and a half. And Stuart, if you'll recall the first time, you know, when you and I first met, when I was out there to speak to the group, when we met that day, you know, you were talking then, and this was at the very beginning of the assault on public education. And what has happened since then has really been quite dramatic and profoundly disappointing. At what point do you say to yourself, I can't just sit back, I need to get engaged? Because you're not alone. There are a lot of other teachers that are running for the State House this year.
Well, let me talk about that. First of all, last week when Wisconsin recall election failed, I know a lot of people were dispirited. And we can't be dispirited regarding Wisconsin and Indiana. You know, I know I'm frustrated by statements by Governor Mitch McDaniels. I don't expect anything different from him. You know, he spreads distortions and lies. But instead, you know, instead of being disheartened, let this serve as a wake-up call. You know, we're not going to go down the path of Wisconsin and Indiana. We're Michigan. We are, you know, organized labor is part of who we are. It's our heritage. We hold the labor battles in Flint and the fight on the overpass. We hold those with reverence. We know that unions have made life better for all workers, and we've seen the graphs which show that the decline in membership of the union parallels the decline in the middle class. You know, how much more obvious can it be? And just as unions made life better for all laborers, so people supporting collective bargaining, you know, we have to once again take the lead and work to stop the right to work for less laws. We have to see the Protect Our Jobs petition, which I know you've talked about many, many, many times. We have to make sure that succeeds so that we have a constitutional amendment in Michigan to guarantee collective bargaining. We have to draw the line in the sand. We have to stop the attack, not just on public sector workers, on all workers in Michigan. And not just on all workers. Workers represent families. They represent all the people of Michigan. They represent, you know, children. We have to stop this. We have to put people before profits, or else we're going to go down a dark alley.
You know, Stuart, it's fascinating. And if you will, just let me paint this picture for the audience for a moment. You come from a union family. You're you know, certainly that's an important part of your heritage. And I would believe, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I would believe it helped shape the person that you are today. Then, you know, you and Jamie get married. She's a dedicated nurse. You're a dedicated teacher. You're both activists. You both care deeply about your community. And I mean that. I mean, you care deeply about your community. You know, you decided that, you know, when you were gonna take root somewhere, that, you know, you were going to invest, whatever that means. You were going to invest in where you live, and the importance of doing that and reaching out. And people need to understand, Stuart, that when you become an educator, you know, that is a lifetime commitment, no different than any serious commitment you would make in your life. So this is, as we talk about you being whatever a good Democrat means, this isn't just about what that means on paper. This is personal for you, isn't it?
Well, it is personal. My dad was a tool and die worker, UAW member, and we were a UAW household, and unions have been part of my identity. When I started hearing people badmouth unions, I was surprised. You know, I grew up, I'd never heard that. And to find, you know, unions demonized, to find, you know, teachers demonized, that I never expected. And one of the things I wanted to say is this idea that the teachers right now recalled fail, and the Pavlov recalled fail, and it was very difficult. I wish we had gotten more support from unions in the Pavlov recall, but I understand. I understand that there's difficulties. However, we have to put that aside now, and we have to move to a new goal. And the most important goal is to directly take back government, directly, as take back the House. And one of the things that's amazing to me is how many teachers have taken up that call. Teachers who have, are the most trusted career beside, along with nurses and along with, other professions. They've taken up the call, and right now we need to support them because they'll work as a block. And they don't just come to the legislature with education as their only specialty. A lot of these people are amazingly bright and have varied backgrounds. Some of the people running for office that your listeners should know about in the area, besides myself, and I hope they'll remember Stuart Sternberg up here in St. Clair County, is Pam Jackson, an educator running for the new 39th.
And in fact, Stuart, she is a former teacher of mine, and I will be joining her next week at a fundraiser where I am proud to be introducing her.
That's wonderful. She's an amazing woman. An amazing West Bloomfield, and she's running for part of Commerce Township as well. Another individual is Steve Losey, who's running for the 51st, and he's going after the seat which was vacated by the only successful recall in Michigan. And then there's John Nugent, the 82nd, which is in Lapeer. He's not an educator, but he is on the Board of Education there, and he is very understanding and is grounded in education. Another one is Sherry Smith, who is an educator up in San Juan County or involved in education, and she's running in Columbus Township by me, and I'll hopefully be doing a fundraiser with her sometime in the future. So we're moving as a group because we understand that we have to work together, which is one of the reasons, one of the things that's really important is that we support each other. I'm talking about Pam Jackson. I'm running for office, but I'm talking about Pam Jackson and Sherry Smith and John Nugent because what we need to do is we need to work together. It's not enough to have one Democrat elected. It's not enough to have, just raise our amount by a few in the House. We have to work as a block, and that means that people who live in Royal Oak should consider the possibility of, if they have the means, contributing to people in Detroit.
I don't disagree with that, Stuart. Not just in Detroit, people in St. Clair County as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but let me can you stay with us a little longer? We have to take a break.
Sure.
All right, let's do that. Let me get some information out, and then we'll take the break and come back and talk a little longer with Stuart. And we'll get this up on the Facebook page if we haven't already. The website, by the way, is votesternberg.org. That's vote, STERNBERG.org. So do that. The number, if you would like to ask us any questions, 888-552-3595. The email address is always tony@thetonyshow.org. A lot more to get to. Stuart Sternberg, if you don't hear it, if you don't feel it, this is a pretty exceptional guy. Stuart's a pretty exceptional guy. We'll take a quick break here. Stay where you're at. We've got a lot to get to today.
First Shift with Tony Trigano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic this time around, we do have a problem on the Southfield Freeway southbound at the Ford Road exit where you have a disabled vehicle partially blocking that right side of the exit ramp. Also, we got slow traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. And also, it's a slow go on 94 westbound between 21 Mile Road and Rosso Highway. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, and because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in the LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made. And that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Hello, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you indeed. Pleasure to be with you today, and every day for that matter. Stuart Sternberg is my guest. He is running for the Michigan House of Representatives, a proud Democrat, a proud teacher, a proud activist, and proud to be on the show. You just, again, there's just something infectiously great about Stuart. Remind you again, the website you want to go check out, votesternberg.org. That's STERNBERG.org. And if you'd like to send them a direct email, you can do that at votesternberg@gmail.com. And of course, you can find him on Facebook. Just go ahead and search for him there. You know, Stuart, as we take a look at issues, I mean, yeah, okay, so we understand you've got an education background, but you understand that you're not just going there to make sure teachers get their due. There are some there are lots of serious issues that we need to make sure that we keep our eye on, that we seem to have taken our eye off of over the last year and a half plus.
How about job creation? How about instead of wasting time, you know, on the right-wing agenda, we actually, you know, we do what the Republicans claim to have gone there for, which is to do job creation and in Michigan. And you do that, you know, there's different measures you can take. But obviously one for me is collective bargaining, because you ensure, you know, that you have a safe environment for workers. You ensure that you have, you know, quality materials being produced. Also job investment, job training. And instead of, you know, this austerity kick that everyone's on, job, you know, investment in industry. So that's one thing that I think, and a lot of teachers, like Pam, for instance, Pam Jackson, brings to the table. She has, you know, she has some background in business. We all have other specialties. One of my specialties is dealing with youth services. Before I was an educator, I worked in west side of Wayne County with foster care and dealing with issues of sexual and physical abuse and substance abuse. And there's lots of issues that need to be dealt with. But, you know, number one, of course, is job creation. Number two is the idea of getting money out of Lansing, and we've got to do it. We have to have a there are three platforms or three prongs of the things I'm really emphasizing. You hit the first one, which is restoring public education, stopping this insanity and privatization. And the second one for me is, you know, job creation and collective bargaining. And the third one for me is this idea of government transparency and accountability. And I hate using the word accountability for because that's been a term that's been used against teachers like a spear through the heart. You know, it's a code word for we're coming to get you. But accountability for government should mean that corporations that are contributing to legislators, we need to know who they are, and we need to know how much they're giving, and we need to have laws that rein in these lobbyists, and maybe we need to make sure that part of that constitutional amendment says that if you're running for office and you serve in Michigan, there has to be a period of time before you can jump in and become a lobbyist, because I promise you, a lot of these individuals, and probably Mr. Pavlov, who I wouldn't be surprised will end up working for the Mackinac Center or for some charter school corporation. We've got to stop that from happening because that's the heart of corruption. There was a survey that was done that showed Michigan had one of the most corrupt governments in the country from that perspective. We can't allow that to continue. So the constitutional amendment will begin to make the government more responsible to the people. You won't see emergency managers going in, setting their own salaries and selling off public assets and, you know, firing people who are elected and overturning the will of the people. Not if you have a responsive government. And we need to make sure we're doing that.
Well, Stuart, and it's critical as we move forward. And, you know, you understand, you would of course reference knocking on doors. There's nothing that replaces that, by the way. And I would guess, and I haven't been with you, and if you'd like me to come knock some doors with you, let me know, and I'll come out and do that. But, Stuart, I would think that as you're knocking on doors, as you're talking to people, as you're educating, because there's a lot of education that goes on that porch step, there's no question that's true. You know, I sometimes, again, as I was a candidate, would get concerned by how little people know, but then I realized that that's part of the empowerment process, making sure that we educate people as candidates, as elected the members of our community, that, you know, one of our responsibilities is to educate people. So that brings me to just a very basic question. And of course, Stuart, you know I'm a huge advocate of education, especially public education. It really is the foundation of everything. Everything we do. Without education, without a fundamentally strong public education system, we are not ensuring a future for our next generation of people. We're just not.
What's the infrastructure? If you're, you know, it's the infrastructure. What we've done to education is we have shortchanged ourselves and hurt ourselves for the next 10 years. And regarding it, let me backtrack one quick second. You know, I was talking about the Pavlov recall and the fact that we didn't succeed. However, we didn't succeed, but we did not fail. I cannot tell you how many people we talked to during that recall process who did not know what was going on, who turned around and then signed a petition. We educated many, many, many people in St. Clair County as to just how heinous Pavlov and his crew were. You know, so education is, the more people know, and knowledge is power, the more you empower people.
Well, you know, it is clearly, you know, if we were to replace people like Pavlov and Tom McMillan and some of the real enemies of that foundation, if we really do need to be very thoughtful when we go into that voting booth, Stuart Sternberg, that we are making sure that we, and I've tried to make this as easy as I possibly can for this audience. It needs to be personal. So when you go vote for that someone, when it's Stuart Sternberg, make sure that Stuart represents what matters to me.
And that's a good point, because you also have, in, you know, all around primary challenges. And you have to be able to look at, when you're going into the booth for primary, you have to make sure that the person represents you. You have to make sure that person, hopefully, you're progressive, and you're making sure that person has your progressive ideals. Regardless, perhaps, sometimes of where the endorsement might be, do they represent you? Are they rank and file? And I think that's critical.
Well, there's no question that is true. You mentioned endorsements. Listen, all you know, candidates get them. And are they important? Yes and no. I will never forget when I first ran, you know, my campaign manager sat me down, and because every right away people wanted bumper stickers and lawn signs, and she said, you know, Tony, all that stuff will come, but yard signs don't vote. Endorsements don't vote. People vote. And it's
exactly
about connecting with people.
Exactly. And endorsements can sometimes, you know, look pretty on a web page, but the people sometimes who that endorsement might possibly, you know, target are not necessarily going to vote for you. And so that's important. What you need to do is you need to connect with people. You know, as long as you have integrity, as long as you are speaking the truth, as long as you're reaching out to people and you really care and you have passion and you have a good vision, a vision that's meaningful, I think you're going to succeed.
Absolutely. Stuart, we're just out of time for today. Obviously, you're one of those people with vision. We'll, of course, look forward to visiting with you in the very near future. In the meantime, vote Sternberg. .org. Stuart, thanks so much for your time this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony. You take care.
And blessings to you, my friend. A quick break here. State Representative Harvey Santana in an interview you don't want to miss. Coming up next right here on First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic this time around, we do have a problem on the Southfield Freeway southbound at the Ford Road exit. We have a disabled vehicle partially blocking that right side of the exit ramp. Also, we got slow traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. And also, it's a slow go on 94 westbound between 21 Mile Road and Rosso Highway. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO political director Mike Pothorzer says as Labor and Democrats look toward November's elections, the massive amounts of money corporations and the rich can put into campaigns is formidable. He says the Wisconsin recall results demonstrate that all the outside money that's poured into elections this cycle can and will change their outcome. Pothorzer says this could happen on the national stage unless we can close the gap between special interests and ordinary people. And he said despite failing to recall Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, the effort working families made in Wisconsin to fight back against attacks on workers was worth it.
People in Wisconsin were not ready to take that sitting down, and I think they serve as an inspiring example to the country, the need for workers to come together and fight back against attacks. Workers have lost for the last 30 years on economics, and this is just the opening shot of a battle that's going to go on till November.
Service Employees International Union President Mary Kay Henry says President Obama is right to call on extremist congressional leaders to stop stonewalling on economic policies that would get our nation back on the road to recovery. Henry says Republican leaders continue to put political goals ahead of creating jobs. About 2,700 progressive activists at the Providence, Rhode Island Networks Nation 2012 conference put their heads together to strategize for a progressive agenda. Jordan Coopersmith is political targeting analyst at the AFL-CIO. He says the political situation is not good for progressives at the state level, where Republicans hold 54% of all state legislative seats.
Republicans know they have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in this cycle to pass their agenda. And believe me, they've held no prisoners. They're going right at it. Everything from restricting a woman's rights to choose, cuts to education, attacks on the unemployed, attacks on voting rights, and attacks on union rights, and there's nothing they are not attacking.
Still, Cooper Smith says labor progressives and Democrats need to play political offense as well as defense. He says there are a number of state legislatures where flipping just a few seats can flip control of those legislative chambers. The Chicago Teachers Union says it has the support of its members to launch a strike if necessary this fall. The teachers have cast ballots for a strike authorization. They're angry about a rescinded raise and a lengthening of the school day. CTU President Karen Lewis.
We are tired of being bullied, belittled, and betrayed by the district and by the city of Chicago. Enough is enough.
Lewis says strikes are not good for anyone, and if the Chicago School Board is wise, it will work with teachers to do what's in the best interest of public schools.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. I am Tony Trupiano. Joining me now, I'm just going to get right to our next segment. Joining me now is State Representative Harvey Santana. Folks, late in the afternoon on Friday, one of the news services that I subscribe to reported that State Representative Santana was stripped of all of his committee assignments by the request of House Minority Leader Richard Hamel. Jace Bolger, the Speaker of the House, said that he agreed with Rep. Hamel's request, quote, because of Representative Santana's continual inappropriate and unprofessional conduct towards fellow Democrat caucus members, and his disregard for the decorum of the House of Representatives, neither of which, he went on to say, will be tolerated. Well, State Representative Harvey Santana, who joins us every month, is with us for a little bonus time. And, Harvey, it's a pleasure to have you back. And I guess let me just throw it to you. What's your response to this, Harvey?
Hey, well, good morning to you, Tony. Thank you for having me on. And good morning to 1310 and all my fellow progressives out there. My reaction is simple. If this is the price that I have to pay for trying to be heard on the House floor on an issue that is of particular concern and importance to the residents that I serve, then so be it. The fact is this, Tony, we had this very complicated bill, very controversial bill called House Bill 5866 that would effectively create a public lighting authority for the city of Detroit and allow the city of Detroit in this public lighting authority to go out into the bond market and borrow, Tony, borrow $160 million. Now, here we are having a conversation today about Mayor Bean saying that we're going to be broke by the end of the week. And you want to create a public lighting authority to put on lights in the city of Detroit, but you want to borrow $160 million. So don't you think I have to ask questions? Don't you think that I got to do my job? Tony, here's the frustrating part about it. This bill showed up in a committee and was debated for less than 1 hour. It flew out of that committee, ended up on the House floor. It went up for a vote once, twice, three times, and on the third time, when I wanted to debate this issue, they told me, sit down, shut up, they've already cut a deal. They talk about sit down, shut up, they've already cut a deal. I offered three amendments, Tony, that would effectively deal with the cronyism and nepotism that has plagued our city, and they struck that one down. I offered an amendment that would deal with the relocation of people who are going to be left in the dark as a result of this bill. They struck that down. I offered another bill or another amendment that would effectively put the power in the hands of the people through the city council, because guess what, Tony? We're going to city council by district, and I want to make sure that the city council person of that district, who is more in tune with the district's needs, has the opportunity to have more input into a public lighting plan. They struck that down. When I saw the Republican right-hand man of the governor, Dick Hoskins, walk across that House floor, tap my leadership on the shoulder, say, come on, let's go in the back room. They went in that back room, got some other colleagues, went back there. When I went to confirm that I could speak on this bill, both the Republican Speaker Pro Tem and the Republican floor leader said, Harvey, we don't have a problem with you speaking. You got to check with your leadership. That's when the votes started popping up on the board, Tony, before the leadership even came out of the back room. Amendments are flying onto this bill. No one had a very clear view of what the heck is going on. And next thing I know, I said, oh, my God, we're in trouble. What's going on here? So when I went to the leader and said, look, I want to speak on this issue. What the hell's going on? He says, they're not allowing you to speak. I said, that's baloney. They are allowing me to speak, but you have to advocate on my behalf. And that's when he got, you know, upset. And that's when I said, you know what? You're a gutless coward because you won't stand up for your members.
Well, you know, let me tell you one of the issues that I'm having with this. The media is not properly reporting what happened. In fact, they're not reporting what happened. They're just reporting that your committee memberships have been withdrawn. That's all they're reporting. And Harvey, I've got some fundamental problems with the media that isn't doing their job. They're not doing their job. They're not investigating why. They're not reporting why. They're just saying, hey, you know, Harvey Santana's being a thug on the House floor, so they're going to penalize him. And that's all we're getting out of this. And it's just wrong, Harvey.
Well, you know, it's fist fights and horse races. You know, I'll have another, and Bodemeister wouldn't run the Belmont Stakes, so they didn't care about it. Harvey Santana stands up for his people. All of a sudden, they characterize it as a fight. You know, what bothers me the most is that you see people that get paid very good money for demonstrating passion, for demonstrating conviction in what they believe in. And they drive fancy cars and live on the big house on the big side of town. But when Harvey Santana stands up on principle, I get ostracized. I get marginalized. And I guess this is the way things are done in Lincoln. But you know what? There is a pattern of behavior here. Not on Harvey Santana. Look at what happened to Representative John Alumba when he stood up against what he thought was wrong at Wayne County.
Right.
Look at what happens to Rashida Tlaib when she sits in the middle of 4th Street with a big sign in front of Southwestern High School that says no backroom deals. She gets kicked out of meetings with Roy Roberts. Harvey Santana wants to debate a bill on the House floor, the Michigan House of Representatives, on an issue that's directly related to the people that he represents, the city that he lives in. I'm told, sit down and shut up.
Well, Harvey, what's the difference between forcing an emergency manager on a community and not allowing a representative to represent his constituents? Basically, what the House leadership, both in the minority and the majority, did on Friday was say, you no longer get to represent your community. They've taken away democracy in your district.
Well, Tony, it's a betrayal of democratic principles all the way around. It's a betrayal of democratic principles.
Well, this is, you know, I find their behavior abhorrent, and I'm going to do some follow up on this. I'm going to get Rick Hamill on the show. I'm going to ask him what's going on. This is problematic at a lot of different levels. Now you've got to go back to work. What happens now when you go back to work?
I go back to work and I keep doing my job. That's the bottom line. I'm not going to listen, Tony. If people think that stripping me of committee assignments is going to sit me down and shut me up, let me tell you, Tony, I think you know me well enough to know that they better pack a lunch, because it doesn't matter if it's our side or the other side. Harvey Santana goes all night long and a hell of a lot longer, brother.
Well, I understand. I appreciate that. Certainly, you know, and I don't want to, you know, you and I did talk a couple times this weekend. I don't want to hide anything from this audience. We talked as two friends because, you know, we have really, and I'm blessed that we have become friends over the last year. I, you know, been involved in around politics a long time. You are a rare and wonderful, I'll even say a beautiful specimen of what we would like our politicians to be. I'm proud of what happened. You know, okay, so you get your committee assignment stripped. Like you said, big deal. They can't take away your voice. They can't take away the passion that you have for your district. And in fact, I would reckon a guess that if Rick Campbell were to go knocking doors in your community with you, and then you were to go knock doors in his community with him, a lot more people would know who Harvey Santana is in your district than would know who Rick Campbell is in his own.
Well, you know what, Tony, you've raised an interesting point, okay? And this goes to the character of an elected official. There are 110 state representatives, 110. You look around that room and you look at Harvey Santana. Tony, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Do you know. Do you know what city he represents?
Absolutely.
Yes. Do you know what he stands for? Yes. Do you know what he'll tolerate? Yes. Do you know what he won't tolerate? Absolutely. Do you know what he's convicted about? Absolutely. You look at 109 other refs, you got question marks on some of those people. You've got some that will show up to every fundraiser, never miss a meal, never show up to a caucus, will have a poor attendance record, sit there, and they're what I call a push-button politician. They just sit there, they push the button, then they go home. They never miss a lobbyist meal, haven't introduced one bill, haven't offered one amendment, haven't engaged in one debate, but yet they go home and they tell you that they're fighting for the people.
Well,
I'm not that guy.
Absolutely.
I'm not that guy. There's two types of policymakers up there, okay? The one that runs towards the bullets and the ones that find a convenient place to hide.
All right.
And I choose to be on the front line every single time.
Yes, you do. And very quickly, because we're just about out of time, but I have to ask you the question. It's been reported that you and Representative Hamill were at each other, and not physically, but that there was... that there was a confrontation. My question to you very simply is, did Rick Campbell come to you and say, Harvey, you need to tone it down? Or did he go to Jace Bulger and say, we need to tone him down?
Well, what we had was an argument on the House floor, and these people characterize it as a fight because I guess it sells more papers. You know, it was a heated argument, and I told him that this was wrong, that Detroit's voice has been silenced. There's another side to this issue. And Tony, ask yourself the question, if this is such a great bill, if this is just a wonderful piece of public policy, then why did it go up on the board three times? Two of those times, they couldn't get enough votes. The third time, they wanted to hurry up and slip it under the door. The last time they slipped something under the door, it was called the Patriot Act, and look what happened.
Yeah.
The last time they rushed a bill through Congress, what happened in 2008 with the bank bailout? This is why I object. I also object because we have an authority, and look at the scandal that it's in.
Yeah,
it's
no question. Harvey, we're just out of time. Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you for the clarification. Of course, we'll be following this. If you need back on the show, you just give me a call.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you to all my fellow progressives.
Absolutely. Harvey Santana, State Representative Harvey Santana. Quick break here. Occupy on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Let's welcome Will in Milford.
I think this is a perfect example of what politics have put us in this country. Here we are, citizens, working every day, and it's these splinter issues that get us to arguing amongst each other when those above us who don't feel our pain are more or less in control of all the switches. Because we see teachers and they're in our community, and it's easy for us to make these opinions. While these other individuals, the rich, have already seceded from the nation, they live in gated communities, they go to private schools, They've already moved away from us. First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. We are still in search of the redefinition of our activist corner. I keep calling it that, so, you know, maybe, Jeff, maybe we should just go with that. I don't know. Any thoughts?
We'll have to fine-tune it.
Yeah, we will. We will. I just, you know, something, I don't know, a little panache. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyway, let me get to, we have this guy on, I don't know, a week ago or so, a little over a week ago. Robert Robinson joins us now. From It Takes a Village, y'all. You'll remember that. How do you not remember the name of that organization? And I told you back then that I just love the whole spirit of what they're doing. So I was I was actually pleasantly surprised when I saw this in my inbox this morning. So let me turn my attention now to activist extraordinaire Robert Robinson, who joins us from It Takes a Village, y'all. Robert, a pleasure to have you back on the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be back on the show. I appreciate this.
No, my really, it's this is going to be great. I understand you've got a program coming up for seniors, not high school seniors now, our beloved senior citizens.
Right. Yeah, what we're doing is at least once a month, we take singers, dancers, musicians, whatever positive thing that somebody has on their heart to do for the senior citizens, we take them with us, and we also provide free food for them. It was something that was started in me back when I was a kid, when I used to work with Kim Weston, who was with Motown. She sung with Marvin Gaye on It Takes Two, and she also sung the national black anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. We go in there free of charge for the seniors, and we give them what we call Senior Day. We just go in there, we spend the whole day with them. You know, it even gets to the point where some of them get up and they'll sing, you know, or participate in something that's going on. So what we wanted to do for the next one was we wanted to have it outdoors. And when we do it outdoors, we wanted to have like a cookout setting and have everybody out there. We didn't get a chance to do it this month because of all the events and everything that's going on, but we want to try to do it for next month. But the only problem I have is that everything that we do, we don't have any funding or anything for it, but it comes out of our pocket. And we wanted to make it like a big event for them. So I wanted to do one of two things. One, I wanted to invite as many people that wanted to take part in it as possible to join us. And then if anybody wanted to give any donations or bring something with them, whether it be some food or paper plates or forks, you know, whatever, that they wanted to bring to help us out or make a donation to us, whatever that they wanted to do to be a part of that. And I just wondered if you could just see the look on the seniors' face, when we present these things, and I'm telling you, it's a good feeling. And like I said, it was a year in December that we have been doing this, but it's something I want to continue. But I'm going to tell you, my biggest goal is to get everybody in the city to do this on one day, where they just take a senior home or senior living place or whatever place it is that the seniors stay, or even if it's a senior on their block, and go spend time with them on that day. Because you got to think, who better to teach us about our history than those who have lived it?
Oh, you know, Robert, there's no question that's true. Let's come back to that for a second. You said something about donations. If people do want to donate, Robert, how do they go about doing that? Where do they do it?
Well, they can contact me. They can go to our website. We have a website, ittakesavillageyall.com, and there's a donate button there. Or they can call me at 313-574-4757 if they wish to bring something. Or they can meet us at our usual meeting spot on Facebook at It Takes a Village Y'all. And when you go to on the Facebook page, the words are separate. It Takes a Village Y'all, Y'ALL. And our website, the words all ran together, ittakesavillageyall.com.
All right. Now I'm assuming we're talking about the next one will be in July, correct?
Correct. We're just working on I'm trying to get a date together with it's going to be at Restoration Towers. That's in Brightmoor. It's on Lasher, just 2 blocks south of 6 Mile. We're going to do it there again. But I try to get it every place else, but I'm not going to lie to you. The seniors will not let me go any place else. You know, every month, they always hit me and they say, you're coming back. As a matter of fact, this is the place where we pass out food every Tuesday. We teamed up with Detroit Hope Church and Forgotten Harvest, and we've been doing this since April of last year. So it's just over a year that we've been passing out food out there. But I'm telling you, when you could just see and take part in this, man, I'm telling you, it's something good. And I had my mentor, Kim Weston, surprised me one time. She came to one. If you go to Facebook, you look through my photos, you'll see where they broke me down and had me crying, because it was an event where I combined Senior Day with Valentine's Day and my birthday. So we just happened to have the event the day before my birthday. And I'm telling you, when Kim Weston got up there and she started speaking about what we did and everything else, and then when I got to speak about it, it kind of broke me down. But I'm telling you, it was just a good feeling.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Robert, let me do this so we can get the ball rolling on this. I want people to support this very worthy cause. So I'm gonna donate $200 to your July event. And
wow.
And you guys use that money any way you see fit. Now, you know, I could throw in paper plates, but I think you probably could use the money. So we're going to do it that way. And then you just keep in mind, Robert, I'm awfully handy on a grill. If you need some help, cooking that day, you let me know.
Well, I'm going to put it out there to you like this. If anybody wants to come out and take part of this and bring whatever that they wanted to add to it, because I'm telling you, we had a bunch of kids that came before, but anybody that feels they can bring something to there. Joe Kidd came there one time. I know you know Joe Kidd.
Yeah.
He came and sung at one of the events that we did. And I think he was there the time they broke me down. But they can come out. And just follow us on Facebook, It Takes a Village Y'all, and we'll have it listed on there. We'll send out a group invite so everybody can know where to come to.
That's great. Well, Robert, so right. For those of you that have never sat with seniors, not only do they love a chance to talk about the past, because they do love to talk about the past, it's an amazing educational opportunity in the best possible way, because it's not filtered with bias. It's just really done with joy and happiness. And Robert, I just don't think people understand how important that connection is to a past generation or even two generations ago.
Well, I'm gonna put the what I love about it is that when you take a lot of young people with you, you help break down a barrier. One, you're having it to where the youth are not being viewed as thugs, and then for the seniors, you have it to where the youth don't view them as easy prey. you know, when you start talking with somebody, it's kind of hard to mistreat people when you sit back and talk to them and get to know them.
No question. Hey, Robert, we're just out of time for today. I'll be in touch. We will we'll make a connection, but this is obviously a very worthy cause. We'll get everything on our Facebook page, make it a little easier for people that are out driving today. Robert, thanks so much for your time today.
All right, I appreciate it.
You bet. Robert Robinson with It Takes a Village, Y'all. All right, a very quick break here. Mark Brewer and Christine Berry. In the next hour, lots to get to yet on First Shift. This Monday's far from being over. Stay with us.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking your traffic, no accidents so far, but we do have heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. Also, it's bumper-to-bumper on 275 southbound between 6 Mile and Ann Arbor Road. And they're watching brake lights on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 and 14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikliszewski. Another tough day on the fire lines in New Mexico and Colorado, where thousands of acres are ablaze. NBC's Charles Hadlick says the Colorado fire has blackened more than 31 square miles.
This fire west of Fort Collins and north of Estes Park, known as the High Park Fire, is the largest blaze in this part of the Rocky Mountains in 25 years. And what's making it worse is its unpredictable nature.
More than 30 buildings damaged or destroyed in southern New Mexico. And more thunderstorms on tap for the Gulf Coast, where torrential rains flooded roads and damaged homes throughout the Florida panhandle over the weekend. The latest European rescue aims to prop up Spain by bailing out Spanish banks to the tune of $125 billion. And another wake-up call for the sleep-deprived. A new study says that if you get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, chances of suffering a stroke are fourfold. This is NBC News Radio. The top three presidential candidates in Mexico are all promising to shift strategy in the country's war on drugs, pledging to reduce the violence rather than block the flow of drugs to the U.S. More than 50,000 have died in the drug war the past 5 years. Authorities in L.A. County say they don't believe alcohol or drugs were involved in a series of car accidents allegedly caused by Commerce Secretary John Bryson. NBC's Chuck Todd.
He hit a stopped car that was waiting for a train to pass by. After Secretary Bryson got out, spoke with three individuals in that car, gets back into his car, hits the car again. 5 minutes later, Bryson hits another car.
Secretary Bryson was found unconscious in his car and taken to the hospital. And let's hope seniors at Nevada's Spring Creek High School aren't in for a bad spell. On their diplomas, the word graduation is spelled gradutation. 200 seniors are graduating this year. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikliszewski, NBC News Radio.
Making your facility greener can seem hard. Not necessarily rocket science hard, but at least 5,000-piece puzzle of a clear blue sky hard. Fortunately, Granger can help with thousands of products, from lights to faucets to greener cleaning supplies that help lower energy costs and impact on the environment. So you get all your green products right in place without falling to pieces. You know, like a puzzle. To help reduce your costs with greener products, call, stop by a branch, or visit Grainger.com/green. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your wheels and tires from harmful elements and restore shine during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, pick up Armor All Extreme Wheel and Tire Cleaner or Armor All Extreme Tire Shine for $3.99 each. Clean, shine, and protect your wheels and tires during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It looks like Facebook has become, by the most common definition, a mature company. The growth of its subscriber base is no longer eye-popping as it was for years, so says ComScore, which reports in April the number of unique visitors to Facebook came in at 158 million. That's only 5% more than a year earlier. Its growth last year was 24%, and the year before it was 89%. The health care overhaul law, also known as Obamacare, is waiting for a Supreme Court ruling on whether it will be overturned. But even if it is, some of its provisions will remain. The nation's biggest health insurer, United Health Group, with 36 million customers nationwide, says it will honor at least parts of the Affordable Care Act no matter what happens. Rules it's keeping in place include no co-pays for preventive screenings and no lifetime caps on care. That announcement could pressure rival health providers to match the move. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 5. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Ryan, technician with Safe Light Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safe Light, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safe Light has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster. Just tell your insurance company you want Safe Light. We'll even handle the paperwork. It's easy. A quick call is all it takes, so choose Safe Light.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Get ready to support Team USA. Even if you can't make it to the 2012 Olympic Games, you can still be a winner. Visit your local BP station to get an official game card. There are over $1 million in total prizes available, including BP gas for a week or even gas for a year.
No purchase necessary. Gas for a year awarded is $3,245 in BP gift cards. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and over, except New Jersey and Virginia residents. Void or prohibited and in New Jersey and Virginia. Full rules, price details, and information on free entry at participating BP stations or bpusathletes.com. While supplies last.
Get 50% off any Domino's Pizza at menu price when you order online. It's a deal so good, even internet scammers don't believe it.
Hello, I am Isaac, internet scammer extraordinaire. When I heard you couldn't get 50% off any Domino's Pizza online, I thought, impossible. So I ordered at Domino's.com. Amazingly, Domino's only charged me 50% of the price. Ha!
Now through June 17th, go to Domino's.com and enter code 50OFF to get 50% off any pizza at menu price. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
Online only, limited time offer, prices, participation, delivery, area, and charges may vary. Offer.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Truppiano. Change does begin here each and every day, Monday through Friday. And then on the weekends, we're not just recharging our batteries. We're doing our homework so that we can do it again come Monday morning. And today is no different. We're going to get to Mark Brewer here in just a moment. Of course, Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan will join us for our blog roll segment at 8:35. And then, of course, if you'd like to join us at any point, simple way to do that. Now, pick up the phone and call us. Toll-free, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And certainly last but not least, on Twitter, at Tony Truppiano. Let's do our intros and get this thing going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
That money could have been much better spent keeping teachers employed, keeping police and firefighters employed in this difficult economic time. And what did the Republicans do? Now let's take $10 million and pay for our own private election. We decided a year ago not to do that to the taxpayers of Michigan. If the parties want to do this kind of process, they should pay for it themselves, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And it is that time, and on on the other end of our line right now is the chairman himself, Mark Brewer. Captain, my captain, a glorious Monday morning to you, sir.
Morning, Tony. Glad to be with you again.
Well, I'm really happy to have you. Mark, I spent a lot of time with the Sunday paper yesterday, and but, you know, my question, it may even seem a little naive, but I guess maybe I don't understand politics as well as I thought I did. In the 11th Congressional District, we know what happened to Thad McCotter. We talked about that last Monday and throughout the week. And we know that there's a guy already, as a Republican, already on the docket. He's, you know, there was going to be a primary. There no longer is. So here's my question for you, Mark Brewer. What is it in the Republican Party that they've decided to ignore the democracy and anoint their own write-in candidate? Can you tell me how that happens?
Well, Tony, it's just another example of the really top-down dictators, party boss style, in that party. You're right. There is a Tea Party candidate there, and we can talk about him at some point in the future in terms of his radical views, but he did obey the rules, unlike Thad McCotter, and he made the ballot. But that's not good enough for the likes of Brooks Patterson, and we've seen his dictatorial style, you know, with the redistricting shenanigans that they pulled when they didn't like the redistricting plan that was legitimately passed. So a group of Republicans got together in what was probably a smoke-filled room, Tony, and they anointed Nancy Cassese. Now, an interesting fact here that's also worth exploring by a lot of folks is Nancy Cassese is most recently a lobbyist for Manny Maroon. So it looks like Manny Maroon may opt to be by his own member of Congress, or at least try to.
Well, at least
yeah,
try to.
Here, Tony, the bad news just keeps spreading.
Well, you, Mark, you know, and here's my concern. I'm certainly familiar with Nancy Cassese. I've been doing talk radio a long time. There was one time when I was up at the Mackinac Policy Conference, she attacked me one evening on the porch because I had the audacity to speak truth to power about a position she had on an issue that she couldn't back out of. And so, you know, and it's not like I did it publicly. I didn't do it on the radio. I did it one-on-one. Well, she didn't like that I called her out for speaking the truth and, you know, basically treated me with disdain. I'll leave it there. Some time later, as I was a candidate for Congress, she was running for re-election as a state senator and had taken a position on education, which she certainly would have fit in nicely with the current crop of Republicans. But at the time, Democrats were doing the common sense thing. She screamed in a public forum at me, "I'm not running against you. I don't owe you any explanations." And to which I responded, "I didn't say you owed me an explanation. The people that are here are the people that would like an explanation." Mark, this is not a woman that plays by the rules very well.
No, she's very thin-skinned. Tony doesn't deal with criticism very well. And frankly, she's a hypocrite when it comes to a lot of issues. A few years ago, she actually voted against funding for veterans organizations in this state, despite her rhetoric to the contrary. She's voted against reining in excessive spending by top-level bureaucrats in Lansing. She's taken a lot of positions, I think, that the Tea Party actually would be very upset about, apart from the fact that she's been anointed by the party bosses to beat their person in that race. And then there's all the ties with Manny Maroon. And she made a lot of money working as a consultant, quote-unquote, to Manny Maroon, and I have no doubt that he'll be spending a lot of money to try to buy this congressional seat.
Well, it's going to take a lot of money, and he has that kind of money. And so if I'm a Republican, Mark, and let's just be... objective right now. If I'm a Republican and I'm watching this unfold, I might not like the guy that's running, but that's what the process gives me. Now, if I'm a Tea Party Republican, I'm going to be really angry with the establishment GOP because, again, they're going around the democratic process. I thought that Republicans, especially conservative Republicans, Mark, were about less government, less interference, less. All of a sudden, we're seeing more, more, more. So which one is it? I mean, I'm not letting them off the hook on this one. I'm sorry, Mark.
No, you shouldn't, Tony. I mean, it is all about power for them. You know, we saw this when they denied Rick Santorum delegates changing the rules so that he was denied delegates, and Romney could say he, quote, won Michigan after the primary. We saw the Tea Party revolt a few weeks ago at the Republican convention where they defeated solidly Solid Newses and Holly Hughes with a couple of Tea Party candidates. And this is just going to be another part of this civil war inside the Republican Party. And the Tea Party folks, again, you and I disagree with them vehemently on the issues, but at least they play by the rules. And that doesn't sit well with the party establishment, in this case, Brooks Patterson, who wants his own person in there that he thinks he can control.
Well, I really do find this troubling. Listen, I'm no fan of Brooks Patterson, never have been, but for him and other established, quote-unquote, established Republicans in the 11th Congressional District, especially the new and I'm not so improved 11th Congressional District, I would expect that they would be outraged. Here's the irony. Unless the media is in cahoots with these folks, nobody seems to have any problem with what's going on. And if I'm a Republican, and, you know, that's it, Mark, Democrats would never do this. Never do this.
No, not at all, Tony. I mean, you know, they didn't even give this Tea Party candidate the courtesy of an interview. And he was eliminated completely from this entire process. Wasn't even eligible to be considered for their anointment. It's just really outrageous what's going on there. Again, by an example, we see increasingly of the way the Republican Party operates. They don't like the rules. They don't like the candidate. Anoint somebody else, change the rules.
Wow. It's amazing. I was fortunate, I actually gifted, we had Dr. Syed Taj on the show Friday morning. And, you know, here we've got a true progressive physician, Mark, a medical doctor, talking about issues that matter to people, intelligent on things that matter like foreign policy. The Affordable Care Act. I could go on and on and on. Good common sense, truly moderate, yet at the same time progressive Democrat that is the answer to, I think, what ails the 11th. They said, you know, on his website it says, we need a doctor in the House. I think that's the guy. I really believe that he's someone even a lot of Republicans could warm up to.
I think that's right. I think he fits that district very well. You know, he's served elective office before. He's been a Canton Township trustee, very active in the community. I think he's a good fit for that district, and we'll see how this all plays out, but it'll be a good candidate for us in the general election. Like I said, when we spoke last week, we're working very closely with Dr. Taj. Because we'd like to see him win that seat.
Yeah, no question. And you know, I'll be honest, my bias, when I ran, he was very supportive of me. I mean, very supportive of me. He, his family, his brothers, his extended family, he, again, just an amazing guy. And I said that when he was with us last week, but I just want to be honest about, you know, there's a lot of reasons to like this guy. For me, it's a little more personal, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I tell people all the time, Mark, politics should be personal, right?
That's right, but I think it's very important, too, also, to let your listeners help Dr. Taj, because there's somebody affiliated with Lyndon LaRouche who filed to run against him. Lyndon LaRouche is no Democrat. Among other things, he supports the impeachment of Barack Obama. So we can't take this primary for granted for Dr. Taj, and really appeal to you and your listeners to help make sure that the good doctor wins that primary.
Yeah, we absolutely will do that. All right, we need to take a quick break here, and we've got plenty to get to on the other side. So everybody, stay right where they're at, including you, Mark Brewer, and we'll take a quick break, folks. If you're paying attention, and I know you are, if you're paying attention, one of the things I want you to be careful of is, especially as now we're moving forward. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about Pete Hoekstra on the other side. There's some danger in only reading headlines. There's some danger in only reading an article here or there. You really do need to do a little bit of homework, and we've actually done some for you. And I'm going to say this as we go to the break. I don't actually expect you to believe anything I tell you. What I do want you to do is prove me wrong. If you disagree with me, prove me wrong. Fair enough? I think it is. A quick break here. We'll continue with Mark Brewer right after this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You know why I knew
this rescue would succeed, it was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, no accidents so far, but we do have heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. Also, it's bumper-to-bumper on 275 southbound between 6 Mile and Ann Arbor Road. And they're watching brake lights on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Ford.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-502.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. So we're ready.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, is my guest. He is every Monday at this time. Mark, just because we don't have a lot of time left, a recent MRA poll, recent as in last week, shows Debbie Stabenow with an 11-point lead over her presumptive challenger, Pete Hoekstra. Now, we kind of need to go back and revisit the birther czar comments because they're still bizarre. And just, again, the way that he handled that after the fact is just beyond odd. It'd be different, Mark, if Pete Hoekstra had never run for office before or didn't understand how this works. But he understands all this, and I just don't understand where he's coming from anymore.
Well, Tony, he's just so afraid of these Tea Party folks. You can almost see the fear in his eyes when you watch these videos of his performances at Tea Party events. He's so afraid of them that he will say and do pretty much what they want when they ask him a question like that. So was he not just content to criticize John McCain for failing to pursue the birther issue? No. He had to double and triple down and say we need a birther office staffed by the CIA and the FBI for the future to vet presidential candidates, way beyond even what Donald Trump and other birthers have said. It's just wild.
There's nothing wrong, Mark, with people having positions, even a little bit, if they're even a little bit odd. Okay, I got that. But we're talking about somebody that's supposed to be literally a superior political operative. This is a guy that, as a lobbyist, made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Important people listen to this guy. And you just got to scratch your head and wonder, what the hell are they thinking?
Well, it's gotten so bad, Tony, that not just here in Michigan, but also in Washington as well, people are saying he's become a caricature of himself, and people are not taking him seriously. I mean, we had that terrible racist ad. He subsequently fired the ad maker. He fired his campaign manager. So it's just been one gaffe after another. I mean, all this being said, because of the enormous amount of money on the other side, we can never take Debbie Stabenow's reelection for granted, despite how gaffe-prone Pete Hoekstra is.
Yeah, well, he and Mitt Romney get along just fine in the gaffe department. Actually, I'm very concerned about Mitt Romney. Very quickly, Mark, Mitt Romney said on Friday that we don't need to hire more firemen, policemen, or teachers in this country. What the hell is that all about?
Well, again, it's the same kind of thing that he speaks before he thinks, that he is so enthralled with this obstructionist Republican ideology that we can't stimulate the economy. Heaven forbid we should spend any money, particularly on public safety, that he says foolish things like that. I think particularly in Michigan, but elsewhere as well, we recognize that we've got a real severe shortage of first responders and folks who are concerned about our health, public health and otherwise. And to say that we don't need any more police, firefighter, nurses, just kind of strike the average person as just completely detached from reality.
Yeah, well, and very concerned. I always go back to, because it's such a dramatic example of how wrong Romney is, as you know, Mark, in Harper Woods, they literally have one fireman on each shift because the city mothers and fathers in that community decided to balance the budget on the backs of the citizens by not providing critical services. Literally one fireman per shift. And this is, of course, what Mitt Romney says. We don't need more of these folks because, frankly, one's enough. This is ridiculous. In the short amount of time we have left, and you and I have not, and this has been my fault, have not spent enough time talking about the Michigan Supreme Court. And we, in fact, perhaps I can work through your office and start getting some of these candidates on the show. Mark, we've got a critical job in front of us. We can talk about the House, and that's important. We can talk about Congress and the Senate, and that stuff's very important. But the Supreme Court is critical moving forward. We really have some heavy work, heavy lifting to do come November with regard to Supreme Court candidates.
Yeah, and really, Tony, the court has been a silent partner with this Republican agenda in Lansing. They upheld the pension tax on seniors last year. They've got the emergency manager law sitting in front of them. They're ultimately going to decide whether PA4 gets on the ballot. And they've been following the same Republican pro-insurance company agenda. We did a video last week about their latest ruling for an insurance company where somebody who was terribly injured in an accident, severely brain injured, and because he missed a 30-day filing deadline buried in fine print in the insurance policy, he and his family were denied any medical benefits whatsoever. I mean, just outrage after outrage, Tony. And we really need to make sure that Connie Kelly, Sheila Johnson, Bridget McCormick, our three great candidates for the Supreme Court, get elected this fall to turn this court around.
Well, and this isn't really, and I want people to understand this. They hear us talk about this, and they're saying, oh, wait a minute. Now, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you don't want any more Republicans on the Supreme Court because look what happens, which, by the way, we can measure what's happening there, Mark. So there's a fundamentally good reason for us to have that discussion. But for those that are saying, so you're saying then we should have Democrats so that the court's Democrat friendly. Well, you know, again, Mark, we let's go to the tape, if you will. We see that when Democrats control the Supreme Court, there's something called fairness that takes place. They don't. You're not going to look at a Democratic heavy Supreme Court and say, "Oh, look at what they did." That's not going to happen, and that's the point.
No, no, we're not looking for a court that's going to automatically rule for people and against insurance companies over all the time. We're looking for a court where everybody gets a chance to have their say and to make their arguments and know that whatever the result, it's fair and the outcome is not predetermined. So we're not asking for a court. We're not pushing for a court where the rulings are automatically the other way. All we're asking for and all the people this state expect is a court where everybody's treated equally and has a chance to make their case.
And that's the problem, is this court has become predictable. And, Mark, it'd be different if we couldn't demonstrate how true that is, but we can demonstrate it.
Oh, no, that's actually right, Tony. If you're a worker, you're somebody injured in an accident or by medical malpractice, if you're somebody who believes in protecting the environment, you can almost predict, you can predict walking through the courthouse doors, if they're even open to you, that's a whole other issue, that you are going to lose in the Michigan Supreme Court.
I you know, fundamentally get very, very concerned. I've got quite a few disabled people that listen to the show. And there's one guy that writes me all the time. He's so afraid every time an insurance issue ends up at the Supreme Court. I mean, he's scared out of his mind. You shouldn't have to live that way, Mark.
Well, that's right. We should be able to depend on the court to be fair to everybody in the state. But again, we've got the remedy in our hands. I'm telling you, Democrats, all the Democrats who vote next fall, vote in the Supreme Court race for our candidates, we can win those races. Our problem is that people don't vote in those races. So we really got to work, and I appreciate your help in this, educating our voters as to who our candidates are, the folks that will correct the course.
I need to do a much better job, and we'll commit to doing a much better job of doing that, immediately. Mark, thanks so much for your time today. We just have to move on. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Tony.
As always, thank you. Let's take a quick break here, folks. We will come back with Christine Berry right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, no accidents so far, but we do have heavy traffic on 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Road. Also, it's bumper-to-bumper on 275 southbound between 6 Mile and Ann Arbor Road. And they're watching brake lights on 275 northbound between Ford Road and the 96 M14 split. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Coonan.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Scott Walker wins Wisconsin, screamed headlines across the country after the labor-bashing incumbent governor hung on to his job in the June 5th recall election. Well, yes, but no. Walker will get to stay in office for the rest of his term, but he did not win the election. Money did. This was a victory for the Citizens United edict issued 2 years ago by a 5-man corporatist majority on the Supreme Court. Their anti-democracy ruling opened the door for unlimited sums of corporate cash to barge into our national, state, and local elections and take charge. Walker is the first ugly sprouting of that alien seed. He sacked up some $30 million from corporate interests, nearly eight times the money that his Democratic opponent had to spend, and two-thirds of Walker's stockpile came from out-of-state interests. Bob Perry, for example, an anti-labor, anti-government Texas tycoon, put more than $500,000 into his Wisconsin soulmate's campaign. Likewise, the far-out DeVos family from the Amway fortune gave $250,000, as did Las Vegas casino baron Sheldon Adelson. Then came the insidious, secretive, outside campaigns that the Supremes green-lighted, allowing corporations to dump mountains of their cash into elections. The multi-billionaire laissez-fairyland Koch brothers, for example, shoved at least $3 million behind Walker, practically all of which went to vituperously negative attacks on his opponent. This is Jim Hightower saying, so, some victory. Honest conservatives might take cheer that Walker still clings to the governor's chair, but there can be no joy in the fact that money rules. That's the lesson of this election, and that's the real fight. To join it, go to Public Citizens Grassroots Rebellion. Go to www.democracyisforpeople.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock, and the day is just flying by. I want to remind you all, I will be sitting in for Ed Schultz today and tomorrow. So for those of you that can actually handle 6 hours of me, and I don't know how you can, but somehow you did. I heard from lots of you on Friday. Now, maybe you cured yourself of that on Friday, and that was the end of that. Anyway, I will be on both today and tomorrow from noon till 3 o'clock, and looking forward to it very much. But we still have 25 minutes left in this hour, and we're going to use it to the best of our ability, which means we need an introduction, Mr. Radford, so we can continue with this thing we call First Shift.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog rule.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway, but local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, as the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
That's right, and joining us now is Christine Berry, as always, one of my favorites of the week. And Christine, a pleasure to have you with us today.
A pleasure to be here. I love Mondays when I get to spend them with you, Tony.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. I'm very excited about today's topic, and I'm just going to make it simple. I keep saying to people, politics should be personal. It should be personal. It's not something that should be outside of us. It's something that should be inside our circle of influence, whatever it is we do. The more, to me, Christine, the more personal politics are, the more engaged you'll be, the more responsive you'll be, the more, I don't know, whatever, intelligent you'll be. I just think it's important that, you know, you make it as personal as possible. And right now at bloggingformichigan.com, you have a wonderful post up about creating a personal legislative agenda. I don't know that it gets any more personal than that.
Yeah, I really like this topic too, Tony, and I appreciate we get the chance to talk about it because I think people don't realize that they're missing it when they're missing it. You know, a lot of people come to political awareness through some event or maybe their career or whatever. The example I use in my post was education. So if you're a teacher, you work in a school or something, you know, maybe you're just becoming more politically aware because of what's happening with budgets and whatnot. But that being said, people get very passionate, but they don't know what to do. And a personal legislative agenda, if you sit down and craft one for yourself, lets you take control of your passion and lets you really build a plan of action that doesn't depend on anybody else. So, for example, Tony, your listeners, usually when they hear from you, they hear about the subject, they hear about your guests, and then they might get a call to action on something, attend a rally, sign a petition, call your congressman, something like that. But they have to depend on somebody to give them that information. So what the post today I was trying to do with that was to teach people how to go out, get that information on their own, and really individualize it so that they can find what they care about, and then they can decide what they're going to do about that.
And, Christine, I would suggest that let's just an issue. I don't care what the issue is for somebody, but just an issue. It doesn't have to be multiple issues. Let's keep it simple for right now. Just follow a single issue and see what happens. And I think if people commit, I'm going to ask people to commit 30 days because sometimes legislation moves quicker than other times. So let's commit to 30 days. And you may have to do longer depending on what that issue is for you. We were just talking to Mark Brewer about insurance issues. Well, again, if you were to go on, to the Michigan legislative website, and I'll give that address out in a second, although it's in the blog post for people that go to bloggingformichigan.com. You know, you'll find that when you search for this stuff, first of all, there's a lot more information than you ever thought there would be, number one. Number two, and this is the part that's just amazing, Christine, you can actually read this legislation, and you can look at it and go, I don't like this, or I do like this. So now you've got something that you can invest in.
Yes, and not only can you read it, you can see a summary of it. You can see who sponsored it. You can see the status of it. And in many cases, you can see the House or Senate analysis of it, which is an independent, nonpartisan analysis that will say this is why this will save money or it won't. And that analysis is actually very, very important to help people understand. For example, a few years ago when MESA was under constant attack and Jack Hogendyke was he was in the House. He was one of the most vocal opponents of, you know, MESA in general. So he's putting through legislation to try to weaken it. And he keeps saying this is going to save money. And the fiscal analysis showed that it didn't. Now, you can't get a lot of traction with you just one or two people fighting back against the Hogendyke. But if everybody can see that, if we can get so many more people seeing that and quoting it and just becoming more conversant in this, it'll help a lot, help us slow these things down or push them back and stop them altogether.
Well, and again, let's just go back to the simple idea of self-empowerment, Christine. And I mean, literally, let's just go back to the simple idea of having your own personal legislative agenda. I have to think, and maybe I'm wrong, I could be wrong, but I have to think that it's like anything else in, that you don't know, and then once you start to warm up to it and then understand a little bit better, and all of a sudden you become a mini expert and how empowering that is. And before you know it, oh my God, Christine Berry, you could actually be making a difference.
Absolutely. You know, over time, you develop a very in-depth historical view of legislation. And you develop credibility when you talk to people about it and say a few years ago this happened and they tried this and so on. And this is something that you're going to develop naturally as you do this. It also helps you communicate more effectively when you go to your meetings or you talk to your neighbors or whatever. This is knowledge that you can draw upon that you've just built up because you've been preparing your own legislative agenda and you've been acting on it.
Oh.
So, again, empowering is a very good word for it. It just improves your position on these things in so many ways.
Well, one of the things I love about, literally love about the bloggingformichigan.com post that we're referencing is it doesn't get any more nonpartisan. This is not a Democrat. This is not a Republican. This is a process idea. So if anybody's interested in process, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you come from, Christina's given you literally all the tools you need to do this. And here's the amazing part. It's free.
Yes, it is. I borrowed the worksheets from a book called The 1 Hour Activist by Christopher Cush, and he's got all of his worksheets online for free, and I linked that page, but also provided links to a couple of PDFs that I have on BFM. And there's two of them in particular that I think are a great place to start. One is a fill analysis worksheet, and the other is the personal legislative agenda. So you've got kind of a two-step process here. One is just doing the fact-finding, where you're pulling out the data about what the issue is. So, or I should say about the issue that you care about. So if you care about education and you go to the legislative site and find the, you know, pull up the 99 bills that are in process now, and you dig through each one of them, you can see who sponsored what, you know, and I mentioned it before, the kind of information you get there. But that's the first process. The second process then is, you know, asking yourself honestly, do I support this? What is my position? What can I do? Who represents me? Is my representative on any of the relevant committees and so on? And from there, that's your jumping off point. Now you can go and become an activist. You can talk to people, do lit drops, you can blog, you can write letters to the editor or whatever, and you have this wealth of knowledge to draw upon.
Well, and so I normally wouldn't do this on air because I'm about to corner you, but not in a bad way.
Okay.
Christine, what I would like to suggest that we do, and maybe we can recruit Mr. Savage on this as well. I think we should find a centralized location and actually do a seminar on a Saturday. Maybe this fall, you know, we'll wait for the nice weather to get, you know, to get our fill of the nice weather. But maybe get together on a Saturday and do a seminar on our personal legislative agenda and really explore this to a point where, you know, we're now growing an activist network. And again, I don't care what someone's political persuasion is. I want everybody to be engaged in this empowering process.
I agree. I think this is one way to kind of, you know, politics has gotten so nasty, and it's about politics now instead of good public policy. And this is one way to bring this back down, get it back into the hands of the people who want to see some results. And when you're digging through bills and you're going through worksheets like this, you know, the rest of that nasty, negative political stuff just kind of fades away because you're dealing with important stuff. You're dealing with people's lives now. So I would be all about putting together a Saturday seminar. As long as we had pizza and some other kind of snacks there, I am in.
I bet we can coordinate that. Absolutely. I will say, and for those of you that haven't been there yet, and I'm gonna move Christine's post on my Facebook page to the front. I want you to read her stuff. One of the things that I love about the way you write is that you are so approachable. When you write, I feel like you're including me on a private conversation. That's a gift, Christine. It really is. Not everybody can write that way.
Well, thank you very much. That means a lot to me. I really do enjoy writing. I really do like connecting with people.
You can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no question you can tell. Again, I want folks to go to bloggingformichigan.com. It's right there, and all you need to do is click on some links. Literally within 5 minutes, you will have free resources at your fingertips that will allow you. And again, I told you, just pick one topic, to start, and you will see all kinds of amazing stuff. And before you know it, you're going to be doing things you didn't realize you would ever find yourself doing. And at the end of the day, even if it's just about educating yourself, you've accomplished something most people never do, and that's really great. Christine, thanks so much. I've enjoyed this segment. I knew that I would, and it's been great, and we'll look forward to continuing the discussion the next time we have you on.
Hey, thanks a lot, and good luck on your on the Ed Show.
Thank you.
Big Eddie Radio, you know.
Yep, looking forward to it. Christine Berry, once again, bloggingformichigan.com. Let's take one more quick break here. We'll come back and we'll take a deep breath and then set up the rest of the show, maybe a little bit of the week, talk about what we're going to talk about on Ed's show today. Stay with us. We got a lot to do, and we'll do it on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Triviano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Elizabeth Weiger joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. By the way, we're open lines till the top of the hour. If there's something on your mind, feel free to give us a call. 888-552-3595. I do want to welcome aboard as one of our sponsors, the Communication Workers of America, Local 4050 and 4090. As you will recall, Dave Skotarczyk was a guy we've had on the show, and I think we're going to have him on a little later this week. But we talked about the fight to get a reasonable contract with AT&T. So I want to just remind you, as they were, by the way, at the Union Label show this weekend. But they've not been very good partners, and they need to be. I just want to remind you a few things. AT&T is a very, very successful company and made $20 billion in profits last year. That's $20 billion in profits. It should be leading efforts to help restore our economy, not turning its back on workers, consumers, and communities that have made it so successful. AT&T workers, by the way, are standing up for all working families who want good jobs in our country. Please stand with us. Go to att.com and tell AT&T that you support quality service and a quality workforce, and all they need to do is step up and do the right thing. And they know what the right thing is. They really do. And this is a message that was brought to you from the Communication Workers of America, proudly a sponsor of and supporter of First Shift, and we are grateful for their support. We'll be talking about them a lot moving forward. Absolutely. We're going to go to the phones, by the way, and so feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Ken and Warren joins us now. Ken, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Tony. I was just listening to your segment there about the blogging, and I'd like to just relate to the people out there. Another method you can blog, if you read online newspapers like I do, I'm a news hound, I'm constantly reading all the locals and the national papers. And after every article, there's always, now they have a comment section. I'm sure you read it yourself.
Oh, yes.
Correct. Well, actually, that's a pretty good insight to what people are really thinking. If you read that comment section, you really see what they're really all about. And some of it is pretty crazy.
I get a little scared, Ken, to be honest with you, when I read some of these comments, because I'll read this stuff and I'll go, did they read the article?
Yeah. Well, actually, it tells you what people are really thinking about, doesn't it? I mean, I've become addicted to this. I mean, I find the comments even more interesting than the articles, and then the replies to those comments. I mean, yeah, you can quickly overlook what the article is and delve into what these people, what are going through these people's minds in regards to what the generic topic is, but how they, you know, translate it or abuse it or whatever reason they have. But it's pretty wild. I tell you, it's pretty informative. But I myself have become addicted to doing it, and I do it. I'm telling you, that's my version of blogging. I do this every day. And some of them, you have to use a username. But for the news, Detroit News and the Free Press and some of the other major media factors, you have to use your Facebook name and use your real name. So you're on the line there because you are you out there. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. and thanks for your call, Ken. When the news and the Free Press started doing this comment thing, you couldn't hide. You know, you couldn't have a fake name and you couldn't hide. And I thought, well, this will be interesting. They'll get a lot less comments, and people will, you know, make it, you know, it just won't be nearly as interactive. Oh, how wrong I was. How wrong I was. It was scary as hell. People, and the difficult thing is people are so uninformed. They just, and they're not afraid. Apparently they're not afraid. But this goes back to, you know, the simple, and it is very simple-minded, a simple-minded idea that if you truly believe your opinion is fact, then you have no problem stating your opinion as fact. Now, we see that on this show a lot. You certainly see it on Facebook a lot, where people throw out their opinion as if it's fact, and they just expect you, you know, to go, oh yeah, well, you said it, so therefore it's true. It doesn't work that way. Especially for those of us that are paying attention.
Even scarier. I mean, we've had it happen on this show, obviously, tons of times, where you say something and other people will hear what they want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
Same when they read the article. I've seen people make comments like, oh, this guy is so wrong. He said this, this, and this. And you read the article and you're like, where did you get that from? Like, they'll read what they want. They'll read between the lines and attack the writer, even though, you know, it's the subject matter that matters.
This is going to sound... little weird, but this is true. All right. There's a show on the Food Network called Restaurant Impossible, Jeff. And one of the, on a recent, and I don't know if it's already aired or not, but it's, you know, Michelle Obama actually reaches out to the guy that hosts the show to, you know, basically it's a eat healthy kind of show. All right. So I'm on the website. I was actually checking something out on another episode that I was watching. And so I go to the website and people are just bashing Michelle Obama. Bashing her to death. Here's the problem, Jeff. They hadn't even aired the show yet. People were criticizing the show that hadn't aired yet. And I'm thinking, this is insane. But, of course, it's politics, and as soon as you throw anything political out there. But it was personal, and people were saying things they don't know about Michelle Obama. There are just certain things that you can't comment on because you don't know these people personally, yet they have no problem doing it. Scary. It really is scary. Wow. It was a couple days ago that I, Friday night actually, that I did that, and I couldn't, and there were like 500 or 600, and I'm not exaggerating, responses about a show that hadn't aired yet. Ugh. Okay, Ed Schultz Show, what are we going to talk about today? We're actually going to talk to Lansing Mayor Virgil Monero today. We're also going to talk to Todd Lipscomb, if you'll remember Todd, with MadeInUSAForever.com. He will be joining us as well. We'll have a lot of open line time today. So we're going to actually, you know, and part of this goes back to Saturday when I was at the Renew America Expo at the UFCW 876 Hall in Madison Heights, and I came early on. And really had a nice time, saw lots of great people, And it just, it was really a lot of fun. So, and if any of you went, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There was some really great stuff. That raffle was quite popular. They gave away five $1,000 prizes. They gave the first one while I was there. And no, I did not sign up for the raffle, by the way. There are people that are certainly much more deserving. Although this lady says to me, I said, well, it's not that I couldn't use the money. She goes, honey, we can all use the money. And she's right, we can all use the money. But anyway, it was a great time. So anyway, I'll be back at noon on WDTW and across this great land of ours. So if you want to punch back in at noon, that's where Anthony and I will be. In the meantime, we're going to get out of here for today. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much for all that you do to get this show put together every day. I want to thank this audience for just being the amazing audience that you are. For those of you that are back from Netroots Nation, hope you had a great time. Let me know how it went, huh? All right, that'll do it for us today. Lots of good stuff coming up tomorrow, including Chris Mihalakis. We always love Chris. And, of course, we will continue our series with the Sugar Law Center. Lots of other stuff to do as well. Hey, folks, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your roadways, it has been an accident-free morning, just a lot of slow traffic, and we got some heavy traffic right now on 75 northbound between 96 and the Lodge Freeway. Also, more heavy traffic on 75 northbound between 9 mile and 12 mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon. Tonight, 67 with more thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 80 and partly cloudy, and it's currently 70 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk.